103 today. Go ahead and stand with me if you would. I will let you stand. You're already there in your Bibles. Let's read this psalm together. Brother David, I don't think we have this in our songbook. Do we know it? I don't think it's in there, which is a shame. And I lined you up to play that song, and then we looked at the song, look, it wasn't there. But how many of you have ever heard the song, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name"? It's just that over and over again. So let's try to sing it, and I'll give you the next line to the best of my ability here. It just goes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." It's actually right there in the first verse. Let's sing it together if you know it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let's repeat that again. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Pick it up now, O my soul. Time. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy. He hath done great things. Sing it if you know it. He hath done great things. Time. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Good singing. Let's read it in the Bible. Let's read the whole chapter together. You follow along as I read, and I'll ask you to read along on some verses. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins." Aren't you glad of that this morning? "Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. There is hope for those who celebrate Christmas too early." Verse 13. "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for men, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. So the wind passeth over it and is gone. And the place therefore shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Father, we thank you for your wonderful and beautiful name. And Lord, the very nature of who you are teaches us we must worship you. And today I pray that you'd help us to see why we need to do that. Through this passage of scripture, Lord, I ask that you would just give us clarity on this concept of what the psalmist said, which is to bless the Lord. Well, that our lives and our beings and our very soul would bless you on a regular basis, in a public way, in a way that is pleasing to you, Lord. And I ask that today you get all the honor and glory for all that takes place here this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. David is an older man now. You know, there's something about experience in life that teaches you that we actually do have a lot to be thankful for. I want to challenge you this morning. You watch the news, you see all the negative things, and you listen to all of the negativity and see all of that. You might be convinced and you might be persuaded to think that we don't have anything to be thankful for because everything is just tough and the world is just wicked and there's a lot of terrible things going on out there and bad things are happening to good people. But can I tell you that an experience with God and a life that is lived for Him will teach you that the life that is the fulfilled life is a life that blesses God and worships God and gives Him thanks no matter what it may seem that we have to go through in life and no matter how bad it may seem that things really are in this world. I don't know if you figured this out yet or not, we don't live for this world. We live for an eternal reward. We live for the day when we shall be like Him. You know, the Bible says now we see through a glass darkly. It's hard to see the details, and it's hard to see the big picture, and it's hard to see the awesome things that God is truly doing, sometimes behind the scenes. But then one day we'll see Him face to face, and I would say that's something worth being thankful for this morning. You know, David said, I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm blessing the Lord. I'm lifting up my praise to God. And he did it in three ways. He attacked it from three angles. First, he personally motivated himself to bless the Lord. He said, as if he were talking to himself, though this is a prayer, a psalm to God, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. He reminded himself, and we're going to have to remind ourselves to bless the Lord. We have to remind ourselves to give thanks. Then he went on, and in verses 6 through 19, he goes on to explain how God has been good to his people. And as a result of God's goodness, we ought to be willing and prayerful and ready to worship God no matter what we're going through or how hard it may seem life is. We always have the opportunity to worship him as his people. But then we just read it. We're not going to go through it right now, but you looked at the end. And he ended this psalm by saying, hey, angels, you bless the Lord too. Hey, heaven and earth, creation, all of his works and his dominion, we all ought to bless the Lord. And he finished it with himself. He said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Can I say to you this morning that everyone here has a personal responsibility to worship the Lord. And everyone here has a personal responsibility to be thankful. Everyone here has reason to be thankful. Amen. We've already heard it sung about the presence of God. We've heard it sung today, oh, how I love Jesus, because why? He first loved me. If that doesn't make you thankful, that's not God's problem. That's your problem. That's my problem. Because God is good. And we say it, you know, the Christians say this, God is good. And you say, all the time. Hey, we need to remember that today. I wonder who's here this morning. You came in discouraged, depressed, and defeated, and downcast, and you need to hear this today, that God is worthy of our praise, and God is good. See, we kind of abide by a little statement here, and it's not really a biblical proverb, but it's just a help thing for us. If you don't think, you won't thank. If you don't stop and, as the songwriter said, count your blessings, you won't be thankful for the blessings. They'll still exist, you just won't acknowledge them. David took time in this passage of Scripture to do what I think every person here ought to do this month. And so this is your homework assignment. Are you ready for this? David made a list. And David perfected that list. And David turned that list into his own thanksgiving list to God, his own worship to the Lord. The first five verses really talk a lot about that. It says in verse 3, and this is what we'll be focusing on today, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, verse 2. You ever stop to think that a life lived in Christ is a life full of benefits? You go get a job, you take a job, you worry about, okay, what is my pay, what is my salary, and what are my benefits? Well, I can tell you this, you don't deserve any of the benefits of God, but he gives them to you nonetheless. God wants to give us many, many benefits in life, and one of the things that he gives us is found in verse number 3, and it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You ever stop and thank God for the fact that he's forgiven you? You ever stop and thank God for the fact that we are forgiven because of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary? I don't know if you've thought about it this week. I don't know if it's crossed your mind. Most likely it just doesn't pop into your head while you're worrying about your bills. It doesn't pop into your head while you're worrying about the struggles and hardship of life. But the reality is that Jesus gave his life for you. Jesus shed his blood for you. The Bible tells us in the book of, I believe it's Romans is where this verse is found, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And the author of Hebrews said it as well, that if our sin has been remitted or been removed and has been dealt with thoroughly by the blood of Christ, that our sins will be held against us no more. Do you know what one of the biggest problems Christians have is guilt? It's one of the devil's most effective tools that he wants to use in your life. I want you to stop for a moment. Whatever the devil just brought to your mind or whatever you just thought of when I said the word guilt and something you've done or something that you did a long time ago or maybe even something that you're struggling with right now, I want to tell you this. God is capable of forgiving that exact issue. God wants to forgive you. God will forgive you. There's a few things we could note about this. First of all, we can note that God forgives us in the present, which means that right now, today, you don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait until you fix things. You don't have to wait until things get a little bit better. But right now, you can come to God because he forgiveth all thine iniquities. Amen. I don't know if you know what the word iniquity means, but it's a very strong word for sin. It's the kind of sin that hangs on. It's the kind of sin that holds on. It's the kind of sin that forges a stronghold in your life. But thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, we have the victory over those things. And I want to see Christians have victory. And part of the way that we see victory this morning is understanding that God is a forgiving God and that God will forgive you today. Martin Luther, we just this past week, a lot of people celebrated. It was called Reformation Day. And I'm thankful for some of the things that came out of the Reformation. Number one, our Bible came out of that. And though those men, just like we today, aren't perfect, but Martin Luther is a great story of how that he went to become a monk and he was in that mindset and learning about all the things that he couldn't do and the bad things that they had to abstain from. And there were these lists and there were these expectations. And the story goes, Luther himself said that he got to a point where he didn't think that anyone could be saved. And he didn't think that anyone could come to Christ. And he thought, there's no way that God could love us because we're so bad. And let me just tell you, you say, well, I didn't come to church today to be discouraged by the preaching, but I want to tell you something that's true this morning. If you really know who you are, you won't be impressed with it. Isaiah, when he saw God high and lifted up, the Bible said, he didn't say, oh, wow, that's awesome. Hey, let's put that on Instagram. No, he bowed on his face and laid prostrate on the ground and he said, oh, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. You know, the problem with a lot of us today is that we're not willing to recognize our sinfulness. And the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We can't even know how desperately wicked a heart of sin is. But God forgives that very heart. God forgives. And Luther said one day he began to read in the book of John. And then he began to read in the book of Romans. And he said, salvation is not of works. It is by grace, through faith, and through God alone. And when he experienced the grace and forgiveness of God, it changed his mindset for the rest of his life. Can I tell you today, if you recognize that you are a sinner in need of Christ, and that through Jesus Christ alone, he can forgive you of your sin. The problem with most of us, as I said earlier, is that we're not recognizing, we don't have a recognition or a true acknowledgement of just how sinful we are. But because of that very fact, we don't recognize that we need saving today. You have to recognize that you need to be saved in order to be saved. You have to recognize, I'm a sinner. I can't do this on my own. I was 10 years old when I got saved. But I was a sinful 10-year-old. Kind of expected my parents to chime in right there. You know, I wasn't sinful because I'd done the worst thing that you could possibly do. I wasn't sinful because I had done things that the worst criminal on death row had done. I was a sinner because the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I didn't have to teach my children how to lie. I didn't have to teach them how to throw a fit. I didn't have to teach them how to misbehave in the grocery store. Amen. They came by it naturally. So how did they come by it naturally? Because they're my children and I come by it naturally. And because I'm the child of my parents who also were born in sin. The Bible says ye were sometimes the children of wrath. But the Bible tells us when salvation comes, we're not the children of wrath any longer. We're the children of light. Why? Because God forgives sin. Because God loves us in spite of our sin. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
We can apply it to the present. We can then apply it to the continual future. He forgiveth. It's an active word. He forgives and he forgives and he forgives. You say, well, I've done this before. There's no way God will take me back now. No, God forgives you right now if you will but come to him. Many of you today, you're saved. You know Christ. You've received him. You've believed on him. But here's the thing today. You have to understand, 1 John teaches us that if we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not only is the gift of forgiveness available, not only is it continual, but it is also celestial, because the Bible says it's not just being forgiven by an equal, by someone else who is a sinner. We're forgiven by God himself. God, who has never sinned, became sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God. That's what he wanted us to become. All that is good in me is because of God. And all that is in my flesh, the Bible says there's no good thing there. But I can rest assured in my identity in Christ that God has forgiven me and that his forgiveness is enough. What was it that Jesus said on the cross of Calvary? He said, Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. God was willing to forgive you while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Not only is the forgiveness of God available and continual and celestial, but I really want to focus on this today. And it's really all about showing you in the Bible how good God is. So that's what I'm going to do here over these next few moments. His forgiveness is radical. It's beyond what we have the capability to do in our humanity. Look at verse number three, please. The Bible says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. I want to restate something I've already said. There is no sin that God cannot forgive. There is no sin that God is not willing to forgive. So many people are living in guilt today of sin that God is ready to wipe clean. He says, you come to me and I'll forgive you. And not only will I forgive you, but I'll forgive all. I see a second thing about God's radical forgiveness. Not only does he forgive all, but he forgives abundantly. Now, this is what I mean. You and I have the ability through Christ to forgive like this, but without him, we don't. Turn over to verse number 8, if you would. Find that there in the chapter. Verse number 8, the Bible says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy, which, by the way, is the only reason you and I are sitting here alive today. Because we've transgressed far beyond what God is expected to deliver us from. And he says this here in verse number 10. He says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins. What does that mean? God sees the severity of our sin. Sin was so powerful. Sin was so awful that just one sin, taking a bite of one piece of forbidden fruit, separated man and God. And Jesus had to come die in order to restore that fellowship. That's how powerful and dangerous and awful that sin is. And yet God says he's not dealt with us after our sin. Let me put that on the bottom shelf so we can understand it today. It means that you and I should be in a devil's hell right now because of the sins we've committed. It means that you and I should not be alive today because we're not righteous people. We're not righteous in our humanity. We're not righteous in the eyes of God. But through the blood of Christ and the shedding of that blood, we have his righteousness. And the Father looks through the blood and says, it's enough. It's enough. He's not dealt with us after our sin. By the way, I'm thankful that he hasn't, because there are things today in my life that if I dwelt on them, I would struggle with guilt. I would struggle with shame, and probably you would too. But you understand that God is full of mercy, slow to wrath, and able to forgive you just like that. Amen. Wow, that's a big God, folks. Amen. That's a good God. And that's a God that you and I need to serve. He not only delivers us and forgives us from all, he not only delivers us and forgives us abundantly, but I want to say as well, he forgives us anxiously. What do I mean by that? I mean that he is ready to forgive. He is craving the opportunity to forgive a man from his sins. To say that person, they're still trusting in something else. They're still living a life apart from me. They don't have the Spirit of God within them. They've never believed on the name of the Son of God. And I believe God in heaven is today with a tender heart saying, I can't wait to save that soul. I can't wait to save that individual. And to his children, he says, I want to forgive that child who has transgressed against me. I want to forgive that person who has filled their mind with images from the internet. I want to forgive that person who has lived a life, a double life. They've got a public life, a private life, and a secret life, and it's sinful. I want to forgive that person. God's not waiting up in heaven to zap you with lightning over your sin. He's waiting, anxious, and ready to forgive. Here's how I know that. Because Psalm 86, verse 5 says, For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. God stands ready to forgive you today. That's how good he is. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The number one benefit, who forgives all thine iniquities and heals us from all diseases. It's interesting, you read that, it's kind of a cause and effect, isn't it? You ever think about why there's cancer and heart attacks and heart conditions and physical ailments and diseases and things going on today? It's because of the fall. It's because we're sinners. There was no sickness. There was no ailment. There were no ailments before that. But because man sinned, God cursed the ground. God made it painful for us to live certain ways. And we sin and we live in that condition. But apart from Christ, we'll spend eternity in a place called hell. But with Christ, we are saved from that. And the Bible says that God is ready to do that today. He's ready to save you today. He's ready to forgive you today. Two stories, one of which is a biblical story. An illustration of how willing God is to forgive. There was in the Bible a man, a king by the name of Manasseh. We just studied the life of Hezekiah the first 3 weeks of October, and we learned some great things. And he had a son who was the king of Judah for more than 50 years. He became the king at a very, very young age when his father died. And while the Bible tells us Hezekiah trusted God more than anyone before him or after him, the Bible tells us of Manasseh that he was worse than the pagan kings that God destroyed when he ushered his people into the promised land. He was an idolater. He was a man who shed innocent blood. He was wicked. He was so wicked and so vile that God ushered in punishment for him through the Assyrians, who carried him to Babylon. And they took him into captivity. But an interesting thing happened in the book of Chronicles. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 33 that Manasseh, after being taken into captivity and after being punished by God, it says when he was in affliction, chapter 33, verse 12, when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem unto his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Now, I want to tell you something today. You may be sitting here saying, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad I am. You don't know some of the things. And by the way, I don't need to know. But you may be thinking, well, you just don't know how bad I am. You're nowhere near this guy. You're not a King Manasseh. You see, he was worse than the pagan, heathen, vile kings. And while you may have done some bad stuff, can I tell you what? God forgave Manasseh. He'll forgive you too. A more recent example. A few months ago, a Dallas police officer by the name of Amber Geiger entered her apartment to find a man sitting on her couch, and she saw the shadowy figure aggressively approaching her. She immediately drew her weapon and she fired, killing him. An African-American man by the name of Botham Jean. Suddenly, the officer realized in horror that she had not entered her apartment, but instead the apartment one floor below her, and she had killed the man who lived in that apartment. A terrible, terrible mistake. Which was a crime. They tried her, they convicted her, they sentenced her to 10 years in prison. The parents, though merciful and Christian, I believe, thought even that was a light sentence. But at the sentencing, the family chose one member, the victim's brother, Brant, to make a statement. And he shocked the world, and many of you watched And you saw this example of forgiveness when he said, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I want the best for you because I know that's what my brother would want to do. And then he said, and the best would be, give your life to Christ. He said things like, I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing my brother would want you to do. Then he made a statement that absolutely blew my mind when I heard it. He said, I don't even really want you to go to jail. They looked at the judge. And he said, I don't know if this is okay, but can I give her a hug? And she nodded through tears, the judge. He walked down off of that testimonial booth, walked down to the perpetrator of the crime, and he hugged that woman who is now going to spend the next few years in jail. And he said, I love you. I love you. You know, I don't know if we've seen a more real life recent picture that has received this much attention than that story. Because when I saw it, my eyes filled with tears. And I thought, that is what God did for me. He said, I don't really want you to go to hell. I don't want you to suffer. And while we may live through a life of endurance and suffering at times here on this earth, he said, I'm going to make a way of escape. Oh, you deserve much more. But I'm willing to forgive you. When God forgave you, it cannot be separated, the forgiveness of God, from the very real fact that the forgiveness that he gave required that he give his own life. Jesus came and died on a cross, not so that we could celebrate Easter, Christmas, or any of those other holidays. Not so that we could put up the decorations, and I'm all for them. But so that we could be forgiven. Hey, let's be like the psalmist today, and let's remember. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. A very simple challenge to you today. Write it down on a piece of paper, put it in your Bible. Set an alarm on your smartphone, do whatever you need to have to do, whatever you have to do to remember, but do not forget this week. You're forgiven. God forgave you. God forgives you. The Bible says today that you, all that's left really, is for you to receive that forgiveness. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, there's never been a time in my life that I've received him. I believe everything you're saying, but I've never been born again. I've never called upon him. I've never believed on his name and asked him to be my Savior. But today, I want to be forgiven. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking back to some horrible, awful thing in your life. Something that you just can't get over, something that's just bringing guilt and shame to your mind every single day, if not maybe a little less often than that, but on a regular basis. I want to tell you something today. God can forgive you if we confess our sins. He is faithful.